Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Yud Gimel. Sukkah Daf Gimel. We left off Yud Beis, Amud Beis, right toward the bottom of the Amud. Amar Rav Yehuda. Hani Shushi, second line for the bottom. Hani Shushi Yishvatsri Misachem Hu. These different types of ferns or different types of vegetation, Rashi explains, vegetables, yirukas, one can use them for schach. Rashi points out that even though you know, typically we say things that are makabel tumah cannot be used for schach, and foods are considered really kabbal tumah, these vegetables were not really eaten. So it's vegetation, it's greenery. Rashi calls them yirukas, but they weren't really vegetables that were so edible. So if Yehuda says both of them are kosher for schach, Abaye qualifies and says no, or argues really, and says, Abaye amar, b'shushi misachem, b'shvatsi ilam misachem. He says that the shushi could be used, but the shvatsri cannot be used. Why not? My time on top of because it gives off a bad smell, someone's going to leave the sukkah. You can't use a schach that gives off a foul smell. That's going to cause people to leave the sukkah. Therefore, shouldn't be used for schach. Again, the lashon that it shouldn't be used for schach because of the bad smell. It's not clear that it's a mamasha. It's that's not kosher schach. It sounds more rabbinic. So Rav Yehuda is saying that it's kosher schach even on a derabbanan level. Abayin is arguing, seems to be arguing that specifically on a derabbanan level it's not going to be good because it gives off a foul smell. And a chamin midrash that's kosher, but midrabbanan it's no good because the person's going to leave the sukkah. Similar psak, Amar Rav Chanan Rabba, Hani Hizmi Vehegi Misachemu. Rav Chizah said that there's different types of like thorn bushes and the like. Rashi calls them mine sneh, different types of bushes. Sneh, of course, we know was the burning bush, right? So different types of bushes are kosher for schach. Abayamer, again, Abayah qualifies, argues, says, behizmi misachem, behegilem misachem. He says the hizmi bush could be used, but the hegi bush should not be used. My time, what's wrong with the hegi bush? Here, the issue is not an issue of smell. Here, the issue is a different issue. Keep the nasri terpayo. Here, the issue is that the leaves fall off into the sukkah, and it's going to disturb the person. He's going to be bothered. It's going to cause him to shavak levanafak. It's going to cause him to leave the sukkah as well. The same point that even though it's technically kosher schach, the problem is that it's going to cause the person to leave the sukkah because the leaves fall in and disturb him. Again, therefore, this schach should not be used. Amar Rav Gidon, Amar Rav Gidon. Hai avkusa d'dikla misachem bu. These offshoots of the palm tree, of the date tree, the palm tree, are kosher for schach. And here's the chiddush. Afagav dagidi, even though they're bound together. Now, they're not really bound. They naturally grow where like offshoots. So the base is together, is one. And then as it grows, it kind of separates into multiple different shoots. So it's like an egged. It's like a bound together cluster, which we just had in the prior daf, that chavilim are no good for schach. If you have a bundle together, it's no good for schach. Also, because there that you're going to leave, you're going to have something that was put out to dry in your eitzer, made for purposes of just drying and storage, and you're going to change your mind to just use it for sukkahs, and that's problematic. It could be a problem of even at the rice level of Taslim and us. There certainly was none L'shem Sukkah. So we made a gzeira that bundles in general, even if it was put there purposely, just for the purpose of bundles, not for drying, still is not good for schach. That was the mission we just had the other day. So asks, says the Gemara, Rav Gidon Rav says, over here, by these offshoots of this, the palm tree, where it's like, it resembles an agud, because the bottom is all together, and the top separates, it's still going to be kosher. Why? Afagav Nagid, even though it's considered like it's agud, Eged b'dei shemayim leishma eged. Eged, that which is bound, that which is bundled, b'dei shemayim, it's naturally bound, happens by itself, that's not called eged. Eged b'dei shemayim leishma eged. Afagav tada agadu. And he takes a step further. What if you then go and bind together the top? The bottom is naturally bound together, but the top of it, is the branches shoot out, they separate, so he goes and he binds together the top, that's already eged b'dei adam, still it's not a problem. Why? Because it's not called egged, something that's already ugged, it's not called egged. Again, the gzeir was, if you have a pile that was bound together, that's no good. But that's only if it was bound together by humans. If it was bound together by Yishmayim, we're saying that's not a problem. And furthermore, once it's bound together by Yishmayim, even if a human would go and bind part of that same group together, since it already was bound by Yishmayim, therefore it's not going to be a problem. The Mara is going to bring a similar psak for another Mara. This was Rav Gidon Marav. There we bring an almost identical psak. Amar Rav Chizda, just a different scenario, but the same exact psak. Amar Rav Chizda, Marvina Bar Shila, Hani Dukri Dukani. These stalks of the reeds or these cane plants have the same the same general, the same characteristics where the base is connected and it shoots off into separate pieces. Mizachemu, you're allowed to use it. Avakav deginu, even though it's considered bound together at the base. Eged b'shemayim l'shem eged. Eged that is natural b'shemayim is not called an eged. And avakav d'hadar agedlu. Furthermore, even though one goes and he goes and puts an eged around the top, it's not considered an eged because eged b'chad l'shem eged, because that which already bundled is not considered, that which already was already bundled once, bundling again is not considered a bundle. Tainam Helchi. So we said these two members from Rav Gidim Rav and from Rav Chizda in the name of Ravina Bar Shila. Now we're saying it's actually a brisa with Amram. Now bring a brisa to back up a raya to these Amram. Kanim v'dekronim v'zachemu. These cane stalks and these different types of poles are kosher for zchach. Kanim pshita. What's the chizda kanim? Why would you think it's not kosher for zchach? Ema kanim shel dekronim v'zachemu. So read the brisa to mean the kanim shel dekronim. These are these cane stalks that of a plant that branch out into many stalks, which is exactly our case that we've been describing. The base is together, but it branches off to many stalks. It's kosher for zchach. It's not considered a problem of eged because eged bidei shemayim is leishma eged. That Rishonim are very bothered that we say by Ezev, the lach is one of the sources of eged. We're discussing l'kicha. How you know you need eged by lulav? We discussed the raya was from this raya is from l'kachtem. Agudas Ezev, right? So we know there's a lacha by eged, but part of them over there that was actually by the eged by the Mitzrayim, by the Karm Pesach, by Mitzrayim. But in general, there is a halacha by Paradum as well to have Agudas Ezev, right? Have Agudas Ezev. And the halacha is over there, it's supposed to be Eged that was done by a person. It's supposed to be Eged that was done by a person. As a matter of fact, if you have a case like this, where it's naturally Ugged together, the Mishnah says, the Mishnah in Perek Alf, Mishnah Tes in Para, it says, L'chatchila, one should break apart the components, the different branches, and then tie them, bind them back together. He should break them apart, separate them, and then bind them back together. That should be specifically Eged Adam. However, says the Mishnah, B'dievet, if he did not separate it and he left it all together, that's okay. Why? Because Eged Shemayim L'chara is called Eged. So we have a direct, Roshayim L'chara asked, there's a direct stira. Over there by Paraduma, we're saying the Eged, the natural Eged B'Shemayim, is considered satisfying the obligation to have an Eged, Agudas Ezev, to have a bundle, to have a binding together of the Ezev, of the branches, of the Hissa branches. And our, granted, L'chadchili is supposed to separate it and then put it back together, but B'di'eved, if it was naturally bound together, naturally, and the person did nothing, it is kosher. And best we seem to be saying that we disregard, we don't consider that which is bound together for by the schach purposes, we don't consider it to be a bundle to be bound together at all, and it's not gonna be a problem, not gonna be a psul of the din of having eged on top of my schach for on top of my sukkah for schach. It's not going to be the psul. What's the difference between Paraduma and by us Azay Frek the Rishayim? So they give three basic answers. Two of them are very similar. First answer is that Avad, the first two answers go that eged bidei shemayim is shmei eged. Taka, that the Mishnah in Parah is correct. Because you see, Lamais was saying it works for the Mitzvah Paraduma. Eged B'Shemayim does work. Eged B'Shemayim is Ishmael. Over here, the whole psul by Sukkah is a psul derabanan. It's a psul that Gezeiros Eitzu, that you're going to say that you're going to leave your storage house, something that was set aside for storage is going to be converted to Sukkah. So, again, these first two answers are very similar. The first answer is that the psul is only derabanan. It's a psul derabanan, and by psul derabanan, they weren't concerned about Eged B'Shemayim. So answer number one is that Eged Bidei Shemayim is called Eged. We have a din, a gzeirah here, that chavilos that are bundled together are problem for schach, but that old gzeirah is only gzeirah d'rabbanan, and by gzeirah d'rabbanan, Eged Bidei Shemayim was not called Eged for the psul d'rabbanan. That's all, just the gzeirah didn't apply. The Ran is really elaborating on this answer, but he's taking it a step right and just saying it's more than that. The whole problem was a gzeirah of Eitzer. Gzeirah of Eitzer is, I'm going to bind my, when you take your bundles and you leave them out on top of different structures to dry, and then you're going to change your mind and say, oh, it's a beautiful sukkah, I'm making a sukkah, but it's a problem of tasvah asay, it wasn't on the shame sukkah. We have the various issues, but it's only when you when a person bound something together and then left it to dry, that's when we have a concern. Something which is naturally bound together isn't bechlal in the realm. We don't have the concern at all. It's not something that you bound together, something you didn't bind together, you're not putting out there up on top of a structure to dry. It's not part of that same gezeira. And the logic of the gzera doesn't even apply. So the nuance, the way between the different turitzim in the Ran and the other Rishonim is whether or not it's just a general idea that they never said the gzera to Rabbanan by Eged Shemayim, the Rabbanan said gzera stamazai, or further on, elaborating further, is a svara shabai. The svara of Eitzer doesn't apply by Eged Shemayim. The Ritva goes opposite Malach. The Ritva says the whole Raya from Paras is a mistake. Why? Because over there, Eged Zamakiv. Adarabba, we want to take from part of the for other Hashem is saying, we see from part of Duma, Ege B'day Shemayim is called Egen. So what's Peshav here in our Sugi? We're saying Slash Megan? Because the whole thing of Isis, Rabbana, different Svaras. The Rishon says opposite. Why are you bringing a Raya for different part of Duma? The Ege B'day Shemayim is called Egen. We know the Halacha is by Para. If you don't ultimately bind together the Hyssop, it's not Miyakiv. If that Gita there is not Miyakiv, so Adarabba, the reason why it's kosher over there, even though it's naturally bound, is because it's kosher even if it's not bound Bechlal. I'll tell you, Ege B'day Shemayim is like our Sugi, Leish Megan. And the reason why over there it's okay is because it's not Miyakiv anyway, the Agida, so the Ritva takes an opposite approach. We can say Ege B'day Shemayim is Leish Megan, like our Sugi. Our Sugi is correct, and in Para, it's the Ege is not Miyakiv. Okay. Now the Gemara discusses a side case. But it relates to our sugya, but really a side din, not really sukkahs related. Amar v'chizda amar v'inim b'avshila, hani marasa ta agma, adi meitim b'chavasa pesach. This murrah of the agam, murrah of the marsh. A person could be yetze, his chiyiv of murrah, with his murrah of the marsh, on pesach yetze his chiyiv, says the Gemara, meis v'akasha. Ezev, this is why this comes up, because it relates to what we've been discussing about ezevs and the like. Let's see. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry, the reason why it comes up is because it's the same author, Rav Chizda, in the name of Ravina Barshila. That's the first one explained. It's Rav Chizda, the name of Ravina Barshila. So we quote over here, even though it's really completely unrelated to our sugya, we tied in Paraduma, we tied in the A's of Paraduma, but the Gemara did not tie that in. So the reason why it comes up over here is because the author is the same, Ravina Barshila. So again, the Mar of the Agam, the Mar of the Marsh, is kosher for Mar. Ask them our question. The Torah says lashon of ezev, and we darshan that dafka a basic ezev is kosher for the bar aduma, not the ezev of the midbar, or not the blue ezev, not the ezev Rome. In general, any ezev has a name that's connected to it, as like a name that a specification in its name, like ezev Romi. That's not good. It's got to be stam ezev. So over here too, by mur lachar, it should be any mur which has a name, a specification, the name. Over here, in our case, the mur of the marsh should be no good. So what's pshat that Ravina Barshila is saying that the mur of the marsh is good? Amar Baye. So Baye explains the clause as follows. Kol shen shtana shemay kodimat n'tayra, ubasa tera v'kpida lav, bivi duha sheish l'shem levai. Anything which had these specific names, they existed before Matan Torah. These names of Ezev, during the first discuss, how could the name of Ezev Romi exist before Matan Torah when Rome didn't exist yet before Matan Torah? But okay, anything which has a specific name, Kedem Matan Torah, Ezev Kochli, Ezev Midbari, Ezev Romi, these names existed, and then the Torah comes and specifies Ezev Stam. That's the Torah telling us Davke Ezev Stam, and not these Ezevs with the specific names. Says Marva Hani, Lenishtan Shemayo, Kedem Matan Torah Klal. However, back to the Murr was not modified. It wasn't the pshat that these Murr had various names before Matan Torah, and the Torah came in and modified it and said, Dafka Murr of the marsh, and Murr of this, didn't exist before Matan Torah, and therefore we say it wasn't modified, and therefore the Murr of the marsh is going to be kosher. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Rav Amar, Hani Marasa, Stamash Mayo. It's not true. This your whole presumption was wrong. The Murr of the marsh is really just called Murr. It's not really, its name is not Mar of the Marsh. It's really called Mar. V'ayit dekarlu Marasad Agma Mishum Demishtabech Pa'agma. This that was called Mar of the Marsh is because it's the Mishtakach Pa'agma. It's commonly found there. It's found there often, therefore it's called there, but it's not a unique type of Mar. The other cases, it was a unique type of Azav. The Azav of this is different than Azav of that. Over here, it's not a unique type of Mar. It's Mar. It's regular Mar. It's just what's called Mar of the Marsh because that's where it's commonly found. But that's not considered a Shem Levi B'chal. So two answers. Again, one is, Abai's answer is a klal. Whatever had specific names before Matan Torah, and the Torah gave a general term without the specific names, it eliminates that one cannot use the specific types when it has a specification, it cannot be used. Where something which did not have specifications before Matan Torah, then when the Torah gave the name, namely by the case of Mur, it's not considered excluding the other types of Mur, because other types of Mur didn't exist, these Mur specifications before Matan Torah. That's Abai's answer. Rav's answer is, Mur, the Agma, is not a specification. It's a description of where you find it, but it's not a specification. There's something unique about the Mur of the Agam. Okay.
These things all exist.
No, I mean the shame, the name didn't exist. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, good, fair point. Thank you. I'm not saying these things, these items were mischadish. If Matan Torah, the names were mischadish. If Matan Torah, Shkayach Leizer, 100%. Now Rashi explains that when we talk about Mura Stagma, we'll sidetrack your job for Pesach once we touch the Mar. Rashi explains that it's called Chazeres. that Maris Tagmas Chazeres. Taisa just points out that in Pesachim, when we give the list of the various Maras, there's something called Mar there in the list of five. Mar is a general term for the Maras, but Mar is also a specific term for Maras. And in that list is Chazeres, but listed separate on the list of Mar. So the Achrenim explained, really, what I just answered, Achrenim explains for Rashi that yes, the term Mar is the general term for Mar. You're right, within the five categories of Mar, within the five names, I think it's five names over there, of Mar, there is Mar as one item, and there's Chazeres as a separate item, so that's what Tosfos bothers, why Rashi is Taichi Mar here as Chazeres, but the general term for all five things is called Mar. We know it's part of the Simanim of the Seder, one of the Simanim is called Mar. The Torah says, Amatzar Mar Michlu, and we're saying that the choice is Mar, the Gemara says over there is what? Chazeres, which we teach as actually as lettuce. That's why romaine lettuce is typically, except the chaznish is bothered that it's not bitter, but typically according to most of the Farshim, romaine lettuce is considered a choice, an optimal choice for Mar, because that's how many Farshim teach Chazeres. Okay, so Rechner explains that for Rashi, it's not fair. The word Mar is a general term, and Rashi is picking the primary lechatzilah category within Mar, which is Chazeres. Rebbe Akiva Eger asked Bechlal that what's the Mar's kasha from Azov to Mar? Mar is a general term. Meaning this is svar of the Aruch Haner that Mar answering for Rashi that Mar is a general term. Akiva Eger used as a kasha. What on earth was the Mar's havamina to ask? I think by Shver. What's the Mar's question to ask from Azov, which has specific names, to Mar of the Agam, which is specific names? Mar Bechlal is a general term. So once Mar is a general term, we see the term Mar in the Torah is a general term, and it can mean five different specific vegetables, like the Mishnah has explained over there in Pesachim, in the Lamas over there, explains the different vegetables. So what's the Hav meaning to have that Mar, with Shem Levi afterwards, with Agam, should be a problem, or Mar of the Marsh, should be a problem? Mar, by definition, is general and inclusive. Azov, another Rabbi, Azov is more specific, so just because by Azov we're worried about the specific title, what would it be a havina that by Mar should be by specific titles as a frektik veger lecher shtaka kasha? Okay, says the Mar further. Amar Chizda, back to our idea of what's called a bundle for this vayitzah purposes. Eged bechad leishme eged. Eged tying one thing is not called a bundle. Tying one stalk. Shalosh me eged. If you bind three items together, that's called a bundle. Shnei machlekes rebeis rabbanon. Whereas two is a machlekes rebeis rabbanon, but it didn't say which way we go in that machlekes. Means machlekes rebeis rabbanon doesn't say who says what. We're gonna have two versions. Two malchim. Who's the one that says two? Which one says that two is a bundle, and which one says two is not a bundle? Let's see. Titan. We learned in a Mishnah.
This is an eged of one.
Sorry.
An eged of one. What does that even mean?
Eged really just means you bind. You tie around it. So over here we're saying, let's say you take a stalk and you tie a string around it. We're saying maybe that'd be part of the gzeira of eged. You say what's happening? Yeah, we're saying the lemaisa that's not part of the that's not considered eged. That's wouldn't have a status. Wouldn't be relevant for our gzeira of eitzer. Wouldn't be relevant. It wouldn't be considered an eged for the purposes of lechayr for the purposes of paraduma. Says Gemara Tatan, mitzvah ezo shleish kachem. The mitzvah, again, there's a Mishnah in Para. There's actually that same Mishnah we referred to before. Perek Yidalf, Mishnah Tess. It's that same Mishnah. Mitzvah ezo shleish kachem. The mitzvah ezo is to have three stalks, vam shleish kvailim, and on the three stalks there should be three stems. Eat basically one stem per stalk. And you dip that in, you bound it together, you dip it to paraduma waters, and you spritz with it. Rabbi Yaisemer, mitzvah ezo shleish kvailim. He agrees three stems. Ushirar of Shnayim, which means like the Tanakhama says, three stalks, obviously, three stalks, three stems. Ushirar of Shnayim, and the remainder, I mean, if one of the three stems fall out, as long as you have two remaining, that's fine. V'gardum of Kolshu, and the stubs are also valid, they're also kosher, no matter how much it is, kosher, even a Kolshu, which is like in the Mishnah, they talk about when you keep using it, and let's say some of it falls off or gets worn out, as long as you have a drop left of the stem, that's going to be fine. But what do you see? The Mar spells out for us. Since Rav Yosi is saying that the remainder of the bundle, two is sufficient, meaning it was lechatchila to put three, but two is already considered a bundle over there for your mitzvah of Agudas Ezev. And this says Shleish was la mitzvah. So the Gemara is assuming when Rav Chizda said there's a machlekes, one is not considered a bundle at all for your Ezev, three is considered a bundle for sure, two is a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Rabban, I should say. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that two is sufficient. Why? Because since he says b'di'evet, two is okay. I shouldn't say b'di'evet. Since he says that once you started with three and now you have shirayim, you have two left over, that's okay. Mistamalach chilos, two is okay. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says two is considered eged, and according to Rabban, will be the one to say that two is not an eged, two is no good. Says the Gemara. Umid Rabbi Yehuda, and for the fact that we're saying the Rabbi Yehuda, Vayit Tani Shleish the Mitzvah, this says that three is for a mitzvah. Umid Rabbi Yehuda Shleish the Mitzvah, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says three is for a mitzvah, the Rabban is Shleish the Akiv, that means the Rabban is the one to say three is Ma'akiv. That is the assumption of what Rav Chizkiya is trying to say when he said that two is a Machlokes Rabban Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, but the problem, Vatani, with a Brisa, that says not like this. Rabbi Yehuda Yemer, Ezef Shetchilas Hashnayim, Usharav Echad, Puzzle. Rabbi Yehuda says if you start with two to begin with, by the Ezef, and you left with one, well, let me, it's really two separate dinim. Ezef, you start with two, or even if you started with more than two, you started with three, but now you're down to one. So this should be like an ay. Ezev shetchilas hashnayim. If you started with two, that's no good. Or the vav over here is or usharav echad. Or you started with three, but now you're down to one. Either way, puzzle. It's going to be puzzle. Any kasher shetchilas hashleisha usharav shnayim. What the bright spells out for us? What's kasher? Only if you started with three and now you're down to two. That's going to be kasher. Very clear there, Rabbi Yehuda, even though he says two is okay when that's what's left over, but you got to start with three. So very clearly, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that two is enough. Says Amar, you're right. Epoch. So flip what you assumed was the raya of Chizkiya's bring from the Mishnah in Parah. Flip the assumption. When we said two is a machlekes Rabban Rabbi Yehuda is exactly opposite. Says Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda shleish akiv. Rabbi Yehuda the one that says three is makiv and two is not going to be considered an eged. Rabban shleish mitzvah. Rabban the one that says that three is the mitzvah chila, but two is also considered eged. V'atanya, this is not a question. This v'atanya is benichuser. Rashi says this v'atanya is a proof. The Atanya, this fits well, and we learned the Braitsa, Ezev, Shetchilasa, Shnayim, Sharab, Echad, Kasher. We learned the Braitsa elsewhere that Ezev, we started with two. Or an Ezev, we started with three, but you're down to one as a remainder. Kasher, both cases, Kasher. Veinah Pasla, Shetchilasa, Sharab, Echad. And it's only Pasla if you start and if you started and remain with one, that's what's going to be puzzle. But if you started with two or more, it's going to be kasher. Ask the Gemara, shirav echad puzzle, how am I shirav echad kasher? The last line, the word shirav echad is puzzle is a problem. You said before that if you start with two, or you remain with one, it's kasher. Sounds like if you start with two, or if starting with two is okay, or even if you start with three, but you're down to one, is going to be kosher. But this last line seems to say, if you started with one, or remained with one, is puzzle. Sounds like remaining with one is puzzle. We have a stira. Says the Mar, Sharev Echad puzzle, Amr, Sharev Echad kosher. I just said before, Sharev Echad, if you have one left over, is kosher. Tapa Beis, Ela Ema. On that last words, you have to say, Ashe Tchilosei Kishiarav Echad. It's only puzzle if you started like you're supposed to be left over, which is one. Meaning, starting with two is kosher, being left over with one is kosher. Starting with one, which is the amount that you're allowed to be left over with, that's going to be puzzle. But very clearly, you have a brisa that says that starting with two is okay, that's going to be the chamim. So it's a machlokes, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to start with three, and it's a ma'akiv if you don't start with three. According to Rabbi, you have to start with two, and if you start with only, you have to start with a minimum of two. Starting with three is lechatchila mitzvah, but starting with two is sufficient. Only starting with one is going to be a problem. Back to schach in the form of a bundle. Just to point out, so there's machlokes rishonim. I connected, the conversation about the bundle, the amount of counting of stalks, legabia bundle for eitzer. I mentioned it very briefly when we started this last gemara about what's considered a bundle, one, two, or three. What's considered a bundle? So I mentioned it applies to the eitzer as well. It's actually a machlokes rishonim. It's a machlokes rishonim. Some learn from this gemara, just like what we're using for a count for eitzer purposes for the paraduma, that'll be the same count for our purposes for eitzer as well. But others want to say, back in our Mishnah, when we had the gzera of chavilas, the dafka number, I'm not sure, I forget where they get the number from, but dafka 25. As many, it's got to be a minimum of 25. To be a bundle has to be 25. Less than 25 is not called a bundle. That's how other Rishonim learned it back on the Mishnah when we had in yesterday's Daf Yubeis, about Chavilis, right? Chavile Kash, Chavile Eitzim, Chavile Zrodim. Over there in the Mishnah, some of the Rishonim speak out what's called a Chavila. A Chavila is Dafka, a bundle of 25. That's how some of the Rishonim learned it. Over there, not like this Tosfos Beis Yerushalmi, it's a Rambam, whereas other Rishonim learned from our Sugya, the Ran, the Ravid, they learned from our Sugya that what's considered an Eged? Three. Three is considered Eged, like we see by the Ezev. Okay, fundamental, big machlokes in our Sugya, big disparity. 3 to 25, machlokes Rishonim in our Sugya. Darsh Bremer, Hani Yisraisa Desura Mesachambu, these bundles of of surah, these bundles of surah, one could use for schach. What's the chiddush? Afa gav da agdan, even though they're bound, leminyana ba'amu da gidan, they're bound just for number purposes. They're not being bound for the purpose of drawing, they're not being bound for the purpose of transporting, and that's actually the two svaras I just spoke out. Those two reasons are actually machlekes rishonim, but the point is, since they're not being bound for the typical reasons of Eitzer, they're not being bound for typical reasons of Eitzer, therefore it's not considered a problem, it's only being bound for counting. The seller wants to sell 75 pieces, he knows, I'm just picking a number which fits with other Rishonim, he knows each bundle is 25 pieces, so therefore he says, here, take these three bundles to get to 75. That's not being bound for purposes of storage or the like, and therefore it's not a problem to use it for a schach. Again, just to be clear, those two explanations we spoke out, Rashi is the one that says that since it's not meant to dry it out, therefore it's not a gezeirah of Eitzer. The Ritva says that since it wasn't bound in order to help transport it to schlep it, which is going to be literally coming up in the next Gemaras, that something is not meant for schlepping purposes, that's also not called bound. So two of the criteria for being considered bound for Eitzer is either the original gezeira that you typically put it up on top of a height for drying, you're spreading it out on top of this roof. Not really a roof, but the structure. You spread on top of a structure for drawing purposes, and then you're going to decide to use that structure for sukkah. That's the typical gzeirah of Eitzer. So if I'm not binding it to put it out to dry, that's not considered a gzeirah of Eitzer. That's Rashi. Ritva says it's because I'm not planning to schlep it, which is going to be the next Gemara. Amar Rav Abba, Hani Tzifi Derubani, these huts that were made of these branches, willow branches, Kivash Yotzresh Madanam Shalem, once the knots are undone, ksherin the kasher. Vagidim to tell you, but even though you undid the upper knots, there's still lower knots, right? These bundles. If some Gemaras have the picture on the bottom of the page, some of the Gemaras have pictures. The picture basically shows it looks like a haystack. It was a haystack, a bundle of this willow branches. They're very long. Looks like those willow branches look like a ruffus, but they're very long, and they're tied on the top and they're tied on the bottom, and they form by being tied on the top. It's a little bit of a tighter knot. It comes like more of a point and on top, and it forms like a hut. So when you untie the bottom, we're saying it's okay, it's kosher for schach. Ask more, but still, it's still untied from the bottom, or vice versa. I'll give them a tatai. The Mara says you untie from the top, it's kosher. Alchor is still tied from the bottom. Same idea. I'm a puppet the sharilu. That we're talking about where Itaka untied any of the knots. The knots are untied, the braid is intact, but the knots are untied. So even though the braids are intact, that's not considered ugud, and that's going to be sufficient. That's answer number one. Rav Huna braid, Rav Shua Amar, Afitem le Sharlu. No, you're talking about where it wasn't totally untied. It was taka knot on the bottom and the top, and only one of the knots were untied, and still it's not a problem. You know why? Kol Ege, this is further we said from the Ritva a minute ago, the Ritva got it from this Gemara. Kol Ege Shein Asa Letatlai Leshma Egen. Any bundle that's not considered, that wasn't bundled for schlepping purposes, that's not called a bundle. That's not called Egen either. So if it's not bundled for the purposes of drying it out, like the Eitzer, you don't put it up on top of a structure to dry it out. That was the Svara Rashi says, and we had earlier, or we're saying now, the Svara that if it wasn't bundled in order for schlepping purposes, that's not considered a bundle, and therefore it's not a problem for the Gezeira of Eitzer. Okay. Amar Abba Amar Shmuel. We're moving now to back to a sugya of what different types of growths from the ground that are kosher or not for schach. Here we have a direct connection. The Gemara spells out for us. Yurakas, before we tied him, we brought a mur because it was the same author saying a memra. Here it's a real connection. Yurakas that Chacham said one could be yitzes mitzvah mur on Pesach. They bring in tuma. They bring in tuma, but they're not chaitz v'atuma. Meaning, if they were a roof. If they were the top of an aisle, if they created an aisle, so they bring tuma, they spread tuma across the aisle, but they're not chayes v'tuma, which is very typically not halacha. We know, we just had the other day, we discussed that when you have an aisle, which has the minimum size of an aisle was a tefach by a tefach, we discussed, it's maybe, it brings tuma, if there's tuma somewhere within the aisle, the tuma spreads throughout the whole aisle, but it's also chayes v'tuma, because I have a tefach aisle space, the tuma stays within this roof, and it doesn't burst through the roof and spread tuma above the roof, meaning if someone goes over the roof or something goes over the roof, it will not become tame because the tuma is being contained within the roof. That's the typical rule of an oil. It spreads the tumma throughout the oil, but it blocks tumma from going upwards on top of the oil itself. Here we're saying that it gets the worst of both worlds. These yurakas that are creating oil, they spread the tumma throughout the oil, but they're not chaitzis. Rashi explains the reason why they're not chaitzis is because it's a gzeir da'banan. Really, it should be chaitzis, but because vegetables dry up. since they dry up, your roof is bound to be lost at some point, since the roof will dry up and it'll be lost at some point. So he's saying that, therefore it's going to not going to be chatzitza. Right now, kolzman is there. It spreads the tumma throughout the oil, but since it dries up, it's not going to be chatzitza. Okay. Upaisland, so halacha number one is, it spreads tumma on an object within the oil. Halacha number two was, it's not chatzitza for things above the oil. And halacha number three is what we need for our sugya, for the armasechta, upaisland basukkah b'shem aver. And they would be pasal in the sukkah as if they're open space. Again, the same as far, since they're going to dry up and eventually they'll fall down, so we view them already as open space. We view them as open space already. We view it as if it's not there. My time, the Gemara spells out for us, given the chiyavshi parchiv nafli, since when they dry, they crumble and fall. Command less than dummy, we judge it right away as if it's not a roof. We judge right away these yurakas as if they're not a proper roof, because it's bound to dry up and crumble, so we treat it as if it's not here even before they dry up. Now, l'chaira, there's a basic issue over here. Sorry?
Before sukkahs is over, would they dry up?
L'chaira, yeah, good point. L'chaira, if it's going to last the whole sukkahs, then l'chaira wouldn't be an issue. The Ran speaks out your point, Lizer. We're talking about things that are bound to dry up within the time frame of sukkahs. So even though on day one it's still there, it's not drying up, if it's going to dry up at some point during sukkahs, it's considered a problem. We discussed this, I think I mentioned this actually a couple of days ago at the, I don't want to say it's Chatasi Nimaskir, but when we put up Schach, when I was again in Eretz Yisrael, with these big leaves that were mamish, it was beautiful, beautiful covering, beautiful shade, much more shade than sun. And then a couple of days into sukkahs, the sun dried up the leaves, and they still were good. Nothing fell down. Nothing fell down at all. But it was covering much less space than it did. We had no clue. That's what happens. It was covering much less space. We had to go add additional schach. If that could be mentioned, that could be problematic. That even the chatchila could be wasn't good because it was bound to dry up. Could be that would be, this would be a basis. I remember hearing that there was potentially a problem. Could be the basis is exactly this gemara. Okay, now there's a technical issue over here. We know that you cannot use eichlin for, you can't use dvar makabel tumah for schach. So l'chayr, these yurakas are l'chayr eichlin. We point that from the when we started today, the daf today, that we had yurakas that rashi, that right at the bottom of Yibbeis and Beis, that were being discussed about the kosher for schach or not. And we discussed the reason why those yurakas are kosher. Rashi says because those yurakas that we discussed over there weren't edible. They were non-edible yurakas. So here too, Rashi has the same idea. We're talking about vegetables that are not edible. The problem is, we're talking about yurakas that are being used for murr. Right? We were discussing yurakas used for myrrh. How can we say that we're talking about over here that the yurakas, that person was not meant to eat? Different Taisa learns, Taisa says we're talking about yurakas, very big chiddush shayfas, that did not come in contact with water. Or if it did, it didn't come in contact with not just water. One of the seven liquids that makes something royal kabbal tumah, that are maxed kabbal tumah. We're talking about yurakas that did not come in contact with a liquid that makes royal kabbal tumah. Even if it rains on it, if I don't want it to rain on it, kiyutan, tumah dechiyitain, right? It's gotta be something that I want it to be on it. If I don't want it to get wet, that's not considered royal kabbal tumah. So eichon is makabbal tumah, it's royal kabbal tumah, but only once it became mukshal kabbal tumah. So that's talking about something that wasn't mukshal kabbal tumah, interesting chiddush, and that's why over here this vegetation was, where is even the discussion that it could be used for schach. Vamar Baba Ravuna, habaitz legat, one who harvests grapes for the purpose of bringing them to the wine press, ain la yadis. Now, over here, it's interesting. This is, you want to know what the connection to our sugya is? We're going to get into a lengthy conversation about yadas. Yadas of tumah. We know eichlin is mekabel tumah, and the chiddush over the context of the conversation over here is going to be whether the handles, that which you use to hold the grapes have a vine, that which you use to hold the grapes is considered a yad of the grape, is that all, that also would have be subject to of being mekabel tumah. The reason why this comes up at face value is, it's the same author. The author before was Amrav Abba Amr Shmuel. The author of the most recent memory was about the vegetation. We discussed about the vegetation being mal in order to spread tuma, about being chaytz v'atuma, and then ultimately about schach, which is of course our sugya. That's Rav Abba's memory named Shmuel. And here we have another memory of Rav Abba. It's the same author again, but this will actually circle back to schach. It will circle back to schach. And I don't know if we get to it today, back to schach, we're not going to finish this Zohar today. It really extends all the way to the whole first part of Amud Aleph in tomorrow's daf as well. But we'll start it. Really the focus, at least for the rest of what we're going to discuss the next couple of minutes, is the topic of yadas. Vamar, the yadas, the handles, what the status of the gabitema. So Amr Abba Amr Huna again, habaitz legat, one who harvests grapes for the purposes of bringing them to the wine press to squeeze, and the yadas, they don't have a din of yadas, the gabitema, the handles of the grapes will have a din of yad. Says Gemara of Nashia Bar Gada Amr Huna, hakaitzer l'schach, one who cuts grain down for schach, and the yadas also, so right away actually we touch on schach, I take it back, we touch on it right away, but also, in the yadas, it doesn't have it doesn't have a din of yadas. One is cutting it down for purpose of schach. It won't have a din of yadas. Dafka when it's there to support the eichel, does have a din of yadas. If it's there for schach purposes, it won't have a din of tumas of yadas. Manda mekaitzer koshkin beitzer. The one who says it by kaitzer, by cutting the grain for schach, it no din yadas. Certainly by the case of beitzer, won't have din of yadas. Why? You don't want the stems. You don't want the other parts of the grape there because it's gonna absorb some of the wine. If you have other sticks there, when you're pressing the wine, any other foreign substance will absorb some of the wine, and that's negative. So you don't want it there. So once it's less desirable, it's certainly not supporting, no longer considered to be supporting the food, and not considered merely kabbal tuma. Whereas madam baitzer shein leyadas, the one who says that the baitzer, the yadas don't exist. One of the dinatumas yadas aval kaitzer shleyadas, he'll say that by kaitzer, when it comes to cutting the grain for schach over there, they would have a yad denichle lelisachbo keichel lavdan, because over there you could say that he wants to cover the sukkah with these stalks as well as the kernel, in order that it shouldn't scatter. The stalks help to give it substance in order to stay on top of the sukkah and remain in its place and not scatter around. So therefore, over there maybe yadas would apply. There would be a din of yadas, even if by beitzer there's no din yadas. Perhaps over there yadas would apply. Says the Gemara. Name it the Rav Nashia Bagada Tanai. Let us say that Rav Nashia's Bagada's explanation is a machloikis. Rav Nashia Bagada is one that says, a kaitzer l'schach is in the others. Let us say that his psak, where he extends it to kaitzer for schach purposes, let us say it's machloikis tanayim. The time of the rabbi says, sechitainim vemtainim. Suche te'enim, I should say. Uvem te'enim. If you have branches of figs with figs on them, parchilim bem anavim, we have vines with grapes on them, kashim bem shbailim, straws with some grains still attached to them, mechabdes bem uvem tamarim, where you have the brooms of the palms with the dates on them, kulim pseilis ruba al eichlin kshera. All these things, if the waste is greater than the food, then it's kasher for schach. Vim lav psula, but if not, it's pasul for schach. Achayim ha'imrim, Achu kashim ruben al yadas v'aleichlim. Achayim say, no, you need that the part of the straw or the branches or the vines, that the part that's not edible is greater than both the food and the yad that's connected to the food. So Tanakama is only worried about the food itself that being used for schach, that's not fit for schach, and you have to have that the pseilus is larger than the food itself, whereas the other time, the second time, Achirim is bothered that it should be more than the Yadis as well. What's the Machlekes? My Lava Kamifiki. The Marsav Yeshlam Yadis. The Machlekes is Gufa, where the Yadis are considered when using something for schach, when using this produce, fruit type produce for schach, do the yadas still have status or not? The one who says the yadas still have status holds, which is achirim, holds you need to have more pseilus than both the fruit and the yadas. And the Tanakhama held, no, the yadas have no status, and therefore having more pseilus than just the fruit itself is considered enough to make it right pseilus and kosher for schach. Let's read inside. The Mar says, according to Rav Ada, you have to say attack is a machlekes tanayim, meaning he's not going to fit. Rav Abba said it by Beitzer. He didn't say it's alacha. We said the man who says Beitzer didn't necessarily say alacha by Keitzer. So according to Rav Abba, he's going to say it's taka machlekes whether or not there's a yad by these cases. Rav Nashi Bagada, milei b'tanayim. Rav Nashi Bagada, do you have to say it's machlekes tanayim? Amach Rav Nashi, Marsik, Rav Nashi Bagada could say to come a sarvi. Everyone agrees to me. Hakaitz l'schach in the others. When it comes to grain, everyone could agree that kaitz l'schach in the others. Hachamayaskin kesh katz l'achila over the case where he cut it for eating purposes. The nimach lemesichach. The case where he cut it for achila, and then he changed his mind to use it for sichach. So over there, Tanakama says that since you changed your mind for sichach, it no longer has a yad. Whereas the achirim held that since it was initially cut for achila, it gave it a status of yad, and you have to overcome. You have to have enough to be more pseilus than the Paris with the yad. In fact, tomorrow, 1 second. Because in the chila, my time the rabbanon. What's talking about the tanakama? What's from the rabbanon? If it was cut for chila purposes, the chori should have a yad. Everyone should give this yad there. Give them because the rabbanon keeps the nimach lemasich. The rabbanon say once you change your mind for schach, batal lemachshavte. His original machshava is batal. Umi batal lemachshavte. Ba'achi could a person should be batal machshava? As such, does that work? But now we went to the mishnah called kalim. We went to the mishnah. This is a mishnah in kalim, the perikafei called kalim top of amen aleph. You know what? We'll just read the top of the mission, then we'll stop. Kalim yardim today to mussa machshava. Kalim can become susceptible to tumah through machshava if he has a thought that I'm finished dealing with this kli. The guy's in the middle of making a kli, he says, "Okay, it's done. the thought alone that is done is enough to make a rela kabatama. However, now that he's finished the clean as rela kabatama, to take it out of the status rela kabatama, you need a maisa. Maisa maisa midad maisa machshava. An act can take away whatever the effects are of a machshava or a maisa. A new act can take it away. So if he starts working on the kli again, now it's not a finished product, but working on it could take away the effects of either physically finishing it or being machshava that he finished it. An act can take it away. However, machshava ain't maisa leib midad maisa leib midad machshava. But a machshava alone cannot undo a maisa, certainly, even on a machshava. Once you have in mind that it's a finished product, you have to do a maisa to undo it. A machshava alone doesn't undo it. Here too, once you cut it for food purposes, the yada should take effect, and having a mind for sichuch shouldn't be enough. Says the Gemara, let's pause over here. So we have a kasha for the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to offer a potential answer until we get to the right answer, but let's pause over here. So the Gemara is having a conversation about how far we take the yadis, and the big nafkmin, of course, which is related to sugya, is whether or not the yadis could be used, whether they contribute to the shir of schach, or adraba, whether or not they're a detriment. You have to have a bittul against the shir of schach. It's all part of the conversation. We'll pick up with them tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.